Church of God, a family of believers, disciples of the Lord, united in one spirit, ignited by the fire, still burning through the ages, still present in our lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We are celebrating one of the great feasts of the church year, the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. We're celebrating because we had a whole group of our younger brothers and sisters received the sacrament of confirmation conferred by Bishop Rees yesterday afternoon. We continue to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But for you too, you need more of God? Could you use some more spiritual power in your life? Do you need more help resisting temptation, being a witness, knowing and sharing your gifts? This is a feast that is the great font of God's help for us. So let us open our hearts, call on that help, say again and again, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit now and help us examine our conscience. Come Holy Spirit and help us know our sins. Come Holy Spirit and help us turn to the true source of healing and help.
You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You bring light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Glory to God in the highest, sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you. To God in the highest, sing
Let us pray. Father of light, from whom every good gift comes, send your Spirit into our lives with the power of a mighty wind, and by the flame of your wisdom, open the horizons of our minds. Loosen our tongues to sing your praises in words beyond the power of speech. For without your Spirit, man could never raise his voice in words of peace or announce the truth that Jesus is Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astonished, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord God, how great you are, wrapped in a garment of glory and might, clothed in light as in a robe. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth.
are your works. In wisdom you made them all. Rich is the earth and filled with your life. Bless the Lord, oh bless my soul. Send forth your spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. All of your creatures look to you to give them their food in time. You give with abundance, they gather it up. By your hands they have their fill. Send forth your spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Lord, the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all of the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Please rise.
Come, Holy Spirit, come, and from your celestial home shed a ray of light divine. Come, Father of the poor, come, source of all our store, come within our bosoms shine. You of comforters the best, you the soul's most welcome guest, sweet refreshment here below. In our labors rest most sweet, grateful coolness in the heat, solace in the midst of woe. O most blessed light divine, shine within these hearts of yours, and our inmost being fill. Where you are not, we have not, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill. Heal our wounds, our strength renew. On our dryness pour your dew. Wash the stains of guilt away. Bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Guide the steps that go astray. On the faithful who adore and confess you evermore, in your sevenfold gift descend. Give them virtue's sure reward. Give them your salvation, Lord. Give them joys that never end. Amen, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and kindle in us the fire of your love. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, we are celebrating the solemnity of Pentecost. Most of you, particularly those of you who are wearing red, are already aware of that fact. But many of you may not be aware of the meaning of Pentecost in the history of the church. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek meaning 50th and was one of three pilgrimage feasts in the Jewish religion, one of the important feasts that Jews were expected to attend every year. The date of Pentecost was traditionally calculated as 50 days from the first day of the Passover celebration. Pentecost was also known as the Feast of Weeks and was originally an agricultural festival in which the first fruits of the harvest were sacrificed in thanksgiving to the Lord. Later on, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai was also remembered on that day. As Christians, we know Pentecost as the end of the 50 days of the celebration of the Easter season. But we also know Pentecost as the day on which the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles who had gathered together in Jerusalem following the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And so for us, Pentecost has become one of the three major celebrations of the Christian faith, along with Christmas and Easter. Because of its meaning and significance, Pentecost is considered by most observers to be the birthday of the church. To better understand what that means, consider what a birthday is. The day a person is born is not the day that they first come into existence, for that typically occurs 9 months before the birthday. But the day that a person is born is the day that he or she enters the world in a new way, still in need of sustenance and guidance, to be sure, but no longer attached by an umbilical cord to the one who first nurtured that person in the womb. So it was with the church on that first Pentecost. Those who had been so attached to Jesus were now apart from him, but were in the care of the one whom he had sent. "It is better for you that I go," Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of John, "for if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It could be said that the church had existed in Jesus, his teachings, and in the disciples before Pentecost, but that the church was truly born when the Holy Spirit arrived. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," Jesus told the disciples in today's first reading, "and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Those words are powerful. But what is the evidence of that power? Scripture tells us that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, which enabled them to preach the gospel of Jesus to all the Jews from the various countries who were participating in the Jewish feast. Though they spoke many different languages, those visitors to Jerusalem were each able to understand the followers of Jesus who preached to them. This was the work of the Holy Spirit, and a counterpoint to God's action in the Old Testament toward those who were filled with pride and thought they could erect a tower so tall that it would reach heaven. If you remember, those workers lost the ability to communicate with each other as they all began babbling in languages that no one could understand. What other signs of power can we see from the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles? We need look no further than to Peter to understand the importance of Pentecost and the effect of the Holy Spirit on the new church. Remember just a few weeks ago when we were celebrating Holy Week and we encountered Peter standing outside the courtyard of the high priest, Caiaphas? Jesus was being questioned by the high priests before the Sanhedrin as they sought to find reason to put him to death. Three times, people thought they recognized Peter as an acquaintance of Jesus. And three times, Peter denied, even vehemently denied, that he ever even knew Jesus. Did it sound to you, from that account in the 26th chapter of Matthew, that Peter was concerned about preaching the good news of Christ and working to establish the church that he had been handpicked by Jesus to lead? Or did it sound to you like Peter was afraid, anxious to get out of there with his life? But now, after Pentecost, we see this apostle in a whole new light, filled with the Holy Spirit. Post-Pentecost Peter now preaches openly to the Jews, cures a crippled beggar outside the temple in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, chastises the Jewish leaders for having rejected Jesus, and challenges the high priest and Sanhedrin when they detain him and the apostle John and try to prevent them from ever speaking about Jesus again. Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges, Peter said to those whom he had so recently feared. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. Animated by the Holy Spirit, post-Pentecost Peter had become a powerful and outspoken leader of this new church. And he and the other disciples added thousands to the membership of the church in those first few days after Pentecost. In today's second reading, Paul is writing to the residents of Corinth, teaching them that it is in and through the Holy Spirit that they could come to know the Lord. He also teaches that spiritual gifts, what he calls manifestations of the Spirit, are given to each individual, and each individual is called to use those gifts in service of the Lord. Today's gospel also teaches us about the third person of the Blessed Trinity. In that account from the Apostle John, Jesus ties the presence of the Spirit in each one of us to our willingness to love and follow him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus teaches. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. What does that mean to us today? The advocate, the Holy Spirit, who so totally transformed Peter and the other disciples, is ready to transform us, to teach us everything we truly need to know in this life, and to remind us of all that Jesus has told us. The Holy Spirit is the source of healing, truth, and inspiration, offering gifts that can sustain us in our Christian life: wisdom, counsel, understanding, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord, and courage, especially the courage that we need so much in today's world to proclaim our Christian faith and to live that faith each day. There are also fruits of the Holy Spirit, perfections that begin to develop in us when we embrace the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fruits of the Holy Spirit include charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Imagine what the world would look like if we all sought to make these traits part of our lives and our homes each day. Now we come to the bottom line. Homilies, you know, are a bit like infomercials that sound really good until you get to the end and find out the price. Well, take heart, because anything that the Holy Spirit has to offer is worth whatever the cost might be. Salvation is our destiny. Eternal life with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is our destiny. But like Peter and the other disciples of Jesus, we need to respond. We need to use the spiritual gifts that are manifestations of the Spirit in our lives to glorify God. We need to love God and each other and obey the commandments, as we heard in today's gospel, if we wish to benefit from the transforming reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Those people in my life who know me well know that I am not in my comfort zone when I'm in front of an audience. If I had a choice, I would choose invisibility over visibility almost every time. I would be much more comfortable sitting in the pews with you, probably in one of the back pews. I am convinced that the only reason I am up here today is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And anything I do or say here that is worth any note at all is due to the Holy Spirit. We are celebrating the birthday of the church, and we as members of that church are the beneficiaries of that celebration. The Holy Spirit is here among us. He is ready to become the advocate for each one of us. We need only say yes to his presence to become post-Pentecost Peters in each of our own lives. Now, if you will, pray after me. Holy Spirit, Come into my life today. Help me to know my gifts and give me the courage to use them. Amen. Amen.